Thank you, praise team. My brother and I had trouble finding work on the mainland. Wherever we went, there seemed to be no opportunities available. One of our neighbors came to us and asked us if we heard about the call for mariners. And we said, no, haven't heard about that. He said, tragedy has hit the inhabitants of the Lost Island, and the noble captain is calling for mariners to go with him. Well, I had heard about this noble captain. I heard mixed reports. Some said he was a lunatic, he was crazy. Others said he was a great leader and that he's done good things for the people on the mainland. And so my brother and I were talking about it. When will they be leaving? We asked. He said, oh, sometime within a week. And I looked at my neighbor. Now, my neighbor was a very successful fisherman on the mainland. I asked him, what about you? Are you going to go? What about your business? And he looked at us and he said, going to save these people is more important than my business. Well, we were deeply impressed. We said, let's go check this out. So we went to the harbor where the noble captain's boat was docked. As we approached, we can read the encryption on it, C-A-L-L-E-D-O-U-T. I said, that's interesting. A boat called the Called Out. And a good number of people we saw there getting the boat ready to launch. They all seemed to be enjoying what they're doing, honored to be part of this effort. One of them brought us on board to go and meet the noble captain. We approached him. He looked at us and he spoke to us and said, I'm going to seek and save that which is lost. Follow me, for he that is not for me is against me. My brother and I were taken aback at first. Well, who's this guy? This is a little bold, don't you think? But in a strange sense, we were drawn as well. He seemed to have eyes that were able to read our hearts. So, after gathering our wits, we asked him, how long is this trip going to take? And he said, those that truly follow me for life. That day, he was conducting some training, some of the basics of sailing. So we decided, let's go through the training and see what it has to say. We went through that training that day, and we were very impressed because he focused not so much on technique, but on intent. And after training, my brother and I stepped aside, and we talked about this. We were a little uneasy, but we were eager to be part of some type of adventure. And we both concluded we really have nothing here on the mainland, and that this would be exciting to try. A nice change. More than this, though, we felt that we should go and try to help those who have been hit on the Lost Island. But even more than that, we said, I want to get to know this noble captain. We felt drawn to this man, and we wanted to see what he was all about. Besides, my brother said, you know, we should be able to pull out any time we want. So we came up to the noble captain and said, we'll go with you to Lost Island. Welcome aboard, he said. And he handed us both a key. And so we asked, what is this? He said, these are the keys to the supply deck. We'll be loading it tomorrow. Only those who have the key can open it. So we rushed back to our house, and we packed all that we can. I nearly fit all my clothes, all my books, all my games, medical supplies and snacks into the one duffel bag that I had. And the next morning, we returned to the called-out vessel. The captain formed us in a line. He was first, and the line went up to the deck and over to the supply line. And he took a basket and started handing us a loaf of bread. And that loaf of bread was passed from one person to another until the last person who put it into the supply deck. For 2 hours, it seemed, he kept taking bread out of that one basket. My brother and I were confused and said, how did we get all that bread from one basket? Then he took a barrel of grape juice and started filling up jugs. And we passed those jugs from one person to another until the last person who put it into the supply deck. And this went on for several hours. And then someone said, how do you get all that juice? Next, he took a barrel of oil and did the same thing with that. And that went on for several hours. How did he get all that oil? Someone asked. Then the supply deck was full, and he commanded that it be locked. And one of the commanders spoke up at that time. Are we only going to bring to these people on Lost Island bread, oil, and wine? Don't you think they're going to need more than this? But the noble captain politely replied, this is all that is needed for those on Lost Island, and this is all that is needed for us. So we all went to our barracks that day, and the called-out vessel took off. Now, the first 2 days of sailing went pretty smoothly. I caught up on a lot of reading. My brother and I played a few games together. Things were going pretty easily. But then the wind started picking up, and the sky grew very dark. And a huge storm hit us, and we had to let down the sail and just ride the storm out. The ship was tossed to about, and several people lost their lives trying to stabilize the ship. The call was made, and we had to toss out a bunch of non-essentials. I threw out all my books, and I threw out all my games. And it seemed that the boat was coming to the point where it was going to be wrecked and crushed by the storm. But the noble captain raised his hand and said, peace, be still. And suddenly the sky was clear and the wind stopped. It took us a while to gain our senses, but I heard another commander say, why didn't he do that before I had to throw out my stuff? Well, the next morning, the captain called us all together, and he gave us each a map. It was an interesting map that showed islands in the mainland aligned with the stars. And he showed us the route that we're going to be taking to get to the Lost Island. Well, some people questioned the wisdom of the route. One of the commanders pointed out that it brought us into hostile areas, and it brought us into portions of the sea that are more prone to storms. The noble captain acknowledged this, but he encouraged all to learn the route. Not too long after that, we spotted another ship that was heading toward us on an intercept course. As the ship approached us, we noticed that it did not look very inviting at all. Some of them got up on that other ship and said, what do you have on board? And the noble captain replied, we are heading to Lost Island. And invited them to come with us. But instead, they boarded our ship, and they put a knife to the commander's throat, and they went through all our barracks, and they took all our excess clothes, our excess food, my snacks were taken, medical supplies. Now, several of us tried to save some of their supplies, and as a result, got killed. And the pirates took one of their keys and started going to the supply deck to open that up. But then the noble captain raised his hand and with authority said, see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. And to my surprise, the pirates just dropped the key, turned around, and walked off board and went back to their ship. Again, we were stunned about how this can be. But again, someone murmured, why didn't the noble captain do that earlier? Now all we have left is this bread and this juice. Well, the next day, I noticed several of the commanders huddled on deck together with the map, talking amongst themselves. My brother and I were watching, and several others as well, and they confronted the noble captain about his route. They claimed that they had charted a quicker and easier track to Lost Island, and they demanded that he shift course and follow the route that they plotted instead of the one that he had on the map. But he calmly, resolutely refused. They took him to the edge of the deck and they threw him overboard, and it seemed to me like he was swallowed by this huge shark. Several of us stood up and protested at that point and said, this is mutiny. And they took one of the protesters, slit his wrist, and threw him into the shark-infested waters. One other stood up and protested, and they fed him to the sharks as well. I was moved to take my stand for the noble captain. I too was bothered by the loss of my books, my games, and my clothes, but I knew that what these men did was wrong. One of the mutineers obviously saw this and took me by the scruff of my neck and took me to the edge of the deck and said, do you want to be food for these sharks as well? Do you want to take a stand for your dead captain? Well, what are you going to do? I looked down and I saw and the sharks and I heard them chomping away, and my stomach turned. And again he pressed me, "Are you with us or are you with your dead captain?" I was just ready to give in and just tell him, "I'm with you, I'm with you," in face of those sharks. But he threw me back onto the deck and said, "I can't stand a spineless sailor." My brother and I and several others were confined to the brig for the rest of the trip, and we were fed small portions of bread and juice for the rest of the trip. And I got the nickname from the rest of the crew, the spineless sailor. While I was in the brig, I was ashamed of my fearfulness. But I was even more deeply grieved over the loss of the noble captain. After about a week, we landed on an island. And from behind the bars, I asked, "Where are we now? What's going on?" And one of the mutineers said that we are on Lost Island. And the mutineers opened up all the cages, let everybody out of the brig, and said, "See, no storms, no pirates. Looks like we did a better job than your dead captain, eh?" Well, his words pierced my soul, but I really had no answer to give him. They sent us out to go feed everybody on the island. And so we got some bread and we got some juice from the supply tech and went out. But as we came to the islanders, we discovered that they were already well fed. And they were clothed pretty lavishly as well. We offered them bread, we offered them juice, but we didn't find any that were interested at all. Instead, the islanders were giving us some fancy clothes. They were giving us some tasty food. They even had some ivory necklaces that they put around our necks. They were very hospitable people. They had beautiful, fruitful gardens. They had large homes. My brother said to me, "This is not what I expected Lost Island to be like." But we decided to settle there and make the best of what we can. And by, we began enjoying the comforts that that rich island had to offer. One night, however, my brother came to me with the map, and he showed it to me. It was a clear night that night, so we were able to look at the stars or see the stars very clearly. And he looked at this and said, "I don't think we're on Lost Island. Take a look at the map." And as I looked at the map and as I looked at the stars, he was right. It appeared that Lost Island was far south of where we were. Based on the stars and based on the map, we weren't where we were supposed to be. We went up to one of the islanders and asked him, "Is this Lost Island?" He said, "No, this is the Favored Island." We went and asked another one, "Where are we? What island are we on?" He said, "You're on the Favored Island." We could not believe it. We had to go tell the mutineers and let them know that we made a mistake. So we came to the mutineers and let them know, "We are not on Lost Island. We're in the wrong place. Look at the map." One of them took the map, took a look at it, and in front of us ripped it apart, pulled out his machete and said, "If you go and tell anybody this, I'm going to kill you." We were stunned. But we realized that at that moment that we had been lied to and we had been deceived. We ran back to the called out vessel. We hoped to find another map and we hoped maybe we can get the vessel going again and get back to Lost Island. As we were approaching called out vessel, however, we started hearing a whole bunch of clamor and a whole bunch of shouting on board. We thought maybe there was some type of fight going on there or something. But as we got on board, we could not believe what we had seen. There was a bunch of revelry and dancing. We discovered that someone had converted the called out vessel to a tavern and to a dance hall. We were shocked and we were deeply grieved. That vessel that the noble captain had intended to use to go and save the inhabitants of Lost Island had been turned into a tavern. My brother looked at me and said, "What about the supply deck? What about the bread and the juice and the oil?" We ran down to the supply deck, but to our pleasant surprise, we found a couple of mariners guarding it. And we asked, "How long have you been here?" And they answered, "We have been here since we landed on this island. We've been eating only the bread and drinking only the wine. We've been taking shifts with other mariners," they pointed out. "While we guard, they go out and look for inhabitants to feed. And while they guard, we go out and look for inhabitants to feed." My brother and I were deeply moved at their faithfulness, but we were deeply embarrassed as well and convicted that this is what we should have been doing all along as well. We allowed ourselves to be lured into complacency. So we asked them, do you know that we're not on Lost Island? He says, yes, we know that. And my brother was just at wit's end. What are we going to do? We're stuck in this place. And there's no way for us to go to Lost Island to help the inhabitants there. Well, one of the mariners who were guarding spoke up at that point and said, do not be afraid. The noble captain is training some islanders now. What? I said, the noble captain is dead. And patiently and tenderly, he looked at me and said, no, the noble captain is alive. He put his hand on me and said, if he was able to multiply the bread, if he was able to calm the sea, if he was able to command the pirates, don't you think he had control of that fish that swallowed him as well? After 3 days, that fish vomited up onto this island, and he's out there now training islanders to get ready to go out to Lost Island. Our hearts were stirred, and our hopes were revived at that point. They offered us some bread. Initially, I was going to refuse because I wasn't hungry, but I stopped and said, wait a minute, I need this bread. And I started eating it. And though it tasted very simple and very plain to me, I realized by eating it that I had been spoiled, in a sense, with the islanders' food. And I became disgusted with myself. I ripped off my ivory necklace. I got rid of my extravagant clothes. And my brother and I said, we want to join you in guarding and distributing this bread. My brother and I resolved at that point to work for the noble captain, no matter what it took. So we shared several shifts with the faithful mariners, guarding the bread at one point or looking for islanders on the favored island to distribute it. Well, to our delight that we found some islanders who were hungry for the bread and joined us as well in our efforts. One morning while we were approaching the called-out vessel to carry out our shift, again we noticed a great deal of commotion on board. But this time we saw people running off the ship, people who apparently were drunk, people apparently who were dancing, and they all were running off that ship. And we heard someone on board say, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. We recognized that voice. It was the voice of the noble captain. He stood at the top where everyone could see him and said, the called out vessel has been cleansed and is ready to set sail. Who will come with me to seek and save that which is lost? Well, my brother and I were one of the first to join. The faithful mariners who were taking guard and switching shifts joined as well. And several islanders dropped everything they had and came too. The mutineers who were still on the island looked on and scoffed and ridiculed. We got on board and the ship set sail. And while we were a good deal off from the coast, we heard a great rumbling behind us, a great quake behind us. We turned around and saw that the volcano in the middle of the favored island exploded at that point. And in a moment, favored island was covered in ash. It was a sobering moment, but it became clear to us that we made the right choice in following the noble captain. We took our sail, our second voyage, to Lost Island. This time, my brother and I took time studying that map, learning that map, doing what we can to memorize that map. And as we studied it, we discovered that the route that it laid out for us was the best in the first place. Yes, it took us through hostile territory. Yes, it took us through rough seas. But we saw that in the end, it was the best because it avoided those islands that were enticing to us. And it forced us to give up any non-essentials. Like the first voyage, we hit some fierce storms. Like the first voyage, we got boarded by pirates. But because the ship was much lighter, the storms were much easier to ride. And because the ship did not have any non-essentials on it, it wasn't attractive to the pirates either. We learned our lesson. We need to trust the noble captain. Our priority was to protect the bread, the oil, and the grape juice, and to be ever ready to distribute it to others. We were ready to do this work and to lay down our lives for it if need be. Before too long, we landed on Noble Island, and the noble captain dispatched us to all that we can find, and he told us, do not force feed. Do not force feed, but take the bread and the juice and the oil. Freely you have received, freely give. Many on that island ate the bread with gladness. Many drank the wine with gladness. And many were washed with that oil and were very happy to receive it. And those who ate that bread were eager to give it to others as well. But there's one person on that island that stood out to me and my brother. She was a frail, elderly woman. And when we first approached her with bread, she looked at us with very heavy eyes and said, "I've been waiting so long for you." "What took you so long?" she asked. Well, we really didn't have much of an answer. We really didn't have an excuse. We didn't know what to tell her. We were going to tell her about the mutineers who steered us off course. We were going to tell her about the pirates who boarded our ship. We were going to tell her about the storms. But we knew that none of these were really plausible. It was not these obstacles, but it was our unwillingness to trust the noble captain that kept us away from so long. She says, "I have something to show you." So she brought us out of her hut, and adjacent to her hut, we saw this apparent cemetery that extended for miles with so many tombstones. I was afraid to ask, but I had to ask. I said, "Who are these?" And she tearfully looked at us and said, "These are my friends, and these are my family who died waiting for this bread." My brother and I were speechless. My brother and I were horrified. I dropped to my knees, and I wept bitterly because I realized that the price of my complacency was too painful for me to bear. So many starved while I lived in pleasure. My brothers and sisters, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We are now on the favored island. Many natives of the lost island are longing for the bread that we have. The noble captain will soon cleanse and purge the called out vessel. The day will come when it will no longer be a tavern, no longer be a dance hall. And there is a need today for faithful mariners. Mariners who will faithfully guard the supply deck. Mariners who will follow only the map. Mariners who will not be intimidated by mutineers. Mariners who are willing to put up with the storms, who are willing to put up with the pirates. Mariners who will work together to train islanders. Mariners who will join the noble captain on his mission to the lost island. May God grant that each and every one of us will be numbered with those faithful mariners. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song, number 309, "I Surrender All."